Our last but not least speaker today is P.N. Rajis from UM Columbia. We're talking to us about genomic strategies for soybean oil improvement and biodiesel production.
Thank you for introducing me. Okay. First of all, I would like to thank the organizers for this excellent opportunity. And it's truly an honor to share the podium with several eminent speakers who spoke before me. And thanks to all of you for being so kind to stay for the last speaker. So the good news is I'm the last speaker. Okay, today what I'm going to cover is what activities we are doing at the National Center for Soybean Biotechnology towards oil improvement. Actually, essentially, I'm going to expand what Dr. Walker before me, who outlined what was going on there. And before I go into the main topic, I would like to introduce you to the team members who have contributed immensely to this project. Personally, I feel whatever I'm going to present today, we would not have accomplished without the synergistic effort of all the collaborators from various disciplines. And personally, I feel privileged to work with all these people for the last 1 year. To begin with, historically, fossil fuels have been in use since 5,000 years. We have been talking about this for the last 2 days. And the Egyptians are the ones who first started using the fossil fuels in first medicine and in the lamps for light. And our dependency on the fossil fuel has gone over the years exponentially. Right now, our life is revolving around the non-renewable energy sources. So, as a note of caution, there is no potential renewable energy system that has the power to generate fraction of power by fossil fuel. So it is very, very important to identify alternative energy. In the U.S., of all energy consumption, only 7% comes from the renewable energy source. So, and then of all renewable energy source, biomass stands first, which contributes 53%. And one advantage of using biofuel generated from biomass is it reduces the net carbon dioxide emission because the carbon that was emission that is captured recently for the biomass growth. And also it reduces the other pollutants compared to other fossil fuels. Coming to soybean, soybean oil, it essentially consists of five different fatty acids, and then the values in the parentheses are the corresponding percentage of each fatty acid. And the last three, oleic and linoleic, and the linoleic acids are saturated fatty acids. Since soybean is a legume that fixes nitrogen by itself without external fertilizers, the energy yield from soybean oil is higher than the input for growing the soybean. And most of all the biodiesel, 73% comes from soybean. Many times this has been, in the past it used to be confused, it used to be called soy diesel in place of biodiesel. And also this soybean oil is environmental friendly because it releases very less amount of nitrogen phosphorus. And the recent statistics say that 650 million gallons per year is the soybean oil production in the US, and the capacity is 3,000 million gallons per year. So we have a long way to achieve this goal. Most of the soybean oil is used in the food industry. Only 6% of the whole soybean oil is used towards biodiesel production. So oil improvement is one thing. If you want to use more oil in the biodiesel industry, there is a trade-off, food industry application will be reduced. So we have to keep a balance of how to use the soybean oil towards bioenergy production. And what are the economic importance of soybean oil increase? Recently, Monsanto published their work. What they did, they use the genetic engineering approach for the oil increase in soybean. They use the DGAT gene, and then which is expressed only in the seeds. So we are increasing the oil in the soybean seeds. They increase from the normal 20% to 21.5%. So that 1.5% incremental increase, that was estimated by Chicago Board of Trade. They estimated that this 1.5% is translated into $17.9 per metric ton. So that if you extrapolate to the total soybean production, it comes to $1.26 billion extra revenue for the growers, and also that makes the soybean crop very competitive across the world. So my point is, it is definitely is going to bring a lot of revenue for the government. So keeping this as a background, our objectives at National Center for Soybean Biotechnology is, main objective is we wanted to increase the oil in soybean. How we are going to achieve? So we are trying two different approaches. One is genomics, that is non-transgenic way, and then biotechnology is transgenic way. So essentially, in genomics, what we are trying to do is we are looking for the genetic factors that has association with the oil content. Once we identify the genetic factors, that can be used in the breeding program, in a classical breeding program, and increase the oil content in a non-transgenic way. At the same time, we can use these genetic factors in the genetic engineering. That way also we can achieve the same goal. So in the genomic approach, how we are going to identify the genetic factors? That is three different ways: genetic diversity, quantitative genetics, and bioinformatics. And in biotechnology, we are trying to use the genes from plants as well as yeast. I mean, algae is in the pipeline. In the future, we are planning to use that too. So those genes we are trying to transform into soybean and trying to engineer, increase the oil content. The next few slides, I'll take you through each and every aspect, where we are and what we are doing. So in the genomic diversity estimation study, as Dr. Walker mentioned, Missouri is the major, one of the top 10 producers of soybean. So soybean has been classified into 10 maturity groups based on the climatic condition that is suited for it to grow. So maturity groups 3, 4, 5 are the most suitable for the Missouri climatic condition. So what we did was we collected almost all soybean cultivars belonging to maturity group 3, 4, 5 that are suitable to Missouri condition. And then we tried to, we estimated the genetic diversity. There are two things. One is identifying the gene is one thing, and then identifying the best possible allele, the different form of the gene. That is also another thing. So the diversity is scientifically, it's positively correlated with the phenotypic variation. So by estimating the diversity, we are going to get not only genes, but the best possible forms of the genes as well. So we used these molecular markers, they are molecular tags from the genome of soybean, and then estimated the genetic diversity. This magic circle is the one, is the genetic relationship among all the 690 soybean lines. It belonged to, our results are, we found four major clusters, and we estimated the diversity to be ranging from 0.57 to 0.96. And we have currently identified, we picked 192 genetically distant soybean lines for our future study, and we are using these 192 diverse lines for phenotyping several fatty acids, protein, and carbohydrates. And this approach is called association mapping. Using this approach, we should be able to not only narrow down the genomic region and identify the gene, but also different form of the same gene from this wide germplasm collection. Coming to the second part of the genomic approach, we are essentially using the developing population, and we selected 30 genetically diverse soybean cultivars. We crossed those lines with the elite germplasm in this summer. We are planning to develop 5,000 advanced segregating population for tagging the gene using the single nucleotide polymorphic, it's the molecular markers, using for the genotyping part, and that will identify narrow the genomic region to a fine level, so that particular region can be used in our breeding program for oil improvement. This approach is called the nested association mapping. This method has been proven to be successful in corn. So we are adapting this one in soybean to advance the, for the oil improvement. And the third aspect of the genomic is bioinformatics, that is genome analysis. As we all know that soybean genome sequence is publicly available for the use. So what we essentially did was we identified lipid genes or lipid oil biosynthetic pathway that has been very well characterized in model plant Arabidopsis. So we took all the lipid genes and then look for the homologs in soybean genome sequence, and then we identified 367 uni genes, that is only 367 lipid genes. And using these as a starting material, we identified full length genes of each one of them at the expressed sequences, and also we determined the conserved domain in those genes, and also we did the comparative genomics with the model plants like Medicago and Lotus, where genome sequences are already available. So we saw we did the comparative genomics as well, and each gene family, these 367 genes have several gene families, so we identified the variation by analyzing the phylogenetic analysis. And also, we are working at the, we identified, the predicted the promoter sequence, that is the regulatory part of the gene that activates the function of the gene. So by looking at the variation at the promoter region, we know what is causing the gene, what is causing the oil production low and what is causing oil production high in the soybean genome. And currently, we are working on the molecular variation all 367 lipid genes. The second major aspect, what I explained to you, was genetic engineering method. This approach has been proven to be successful in model plant Arabidopsis in the past. They found by transforming these genes, they found a significant increase of oil in Arabidopsis. But only recently, this genetic engineering approach has been used in the major crops, such as maize and soybean. But the challenge in this one, which many of the previous speakers pointed out, is when we increase the oil content, there is going to be a reduction in starch, protein, and also ultimately yield. So when we have to keep this thing in mind, that when we are trying to increase the oil content, whether we should do it without causing any reduction in these three and other metabolites concentration as well. So our strategy in our lab is we took the genes from yeast and plants. Like as I mentioned, I'll explain to you why these particular yeast and why these genes later after the talk. And we essentially took these two genes, ACL and ACH, from this particular yeast. And then our idea is to transform these genes into model plant to see how well, is there any phenotypic alteration? That means oil improvement in Arabidopsis or not. Once it is proven, our ultimate goal is to transform those genes into soybean and then increase oil content. The same goes for the CB5 gene as well. Where we stand right now is we have accomplished all the aspects, right? We have transformed into Arabidopsis. Dr. Rajesh Kumar, who's working on this aspect, he has identified very interesting result in Arabidopsis. So he is confirming his result this summer, and then his further study is to transform into soybean towards, and then see how well these genes are performing in soybean. So far I explained is the total oil content increase. So right now, in addition to the total oil content increase, we are working on one specific fatty acid, that is oleic acid. If I recall what Dr. Walker has mentioned is, total oil content plus oleic acid is equal to better biodiesel. So this is what we are working on. Essentially this soybean oil is unstable at high temperature. So that it reduces its shelf life. And having more oleic acid, especially with the one double bond, increases the oxidative stability and ultimately it increases the shelf life of soybean oil as well. And then oleic acid has other industrial application, and also it has got human benefits. commercially available all soybean cultivars have only 23% of oil oleic acid. And I mean, the desirable is more than 50%. So that has a several interesting applications in biodiesel industry and also, especially in biodiesel industry. These are the three cultivars, soybean cultivars, that are available, as far as I know, that has the elevated level of oleic acid. Number one is 4445A, that was developed by Dr. Burton at North Carolina University. He has this line with the 60% oleic acid. The drawback of this particular cultivar is it is not suitable for all environment, because it is, this percentage doesn't stay, 60% everywhere. And the other two lines are M23 from Japan and another transgenic line from DuPont that has 80% and 45% of oleic acid. The problem with those two lines are it's patent protected, so that is not available for the breeders to use them for oleic acid improvement by classical breeding way. So what we have right now is it is rare to find the high oleic acid cultivars in soybean cultivars in the late maturity groups. That is our, the late maturity groups that belong, the maturity groups that belong to Missouri. So Dr. Grover, our breeder, whom we are collaborating with, he identified these two PI lines, these two cultivars, that are having about 35% of oleic acid. That is something rare to find. So what he did, he crossed these two genes with this elite cultivar that are adaptable to Missouri condition, developed a population, segregating population, and that population is ranging, the oleic acid value of those segregating populations are varying from 18.3% to 76%. So that shows that these two PIs have, these two cultivars have a different genes. When it is crossed with Jake, this cultivar, this elite cultivar, that complements each other and then increase the oil content and oleic acid content in the segregating population all the way up to 75.3%. And these two populations are stable across several environments. So that has a wide application for higher oleic acid production. There is a poster by Dr. Zhang Li with the, he has explained. He has studied a lot of soybean cultivars across several environments, and he has put a poster over here. And so right now we have looked at the plant behavioral level, how the oleic acid content is varying. So now our objective is to identify the genes that are having a role in the expression of oleic acid. So what we are doing right now is we are incorporating high-throughput molecular marker technology, such as Golden Gate assay developed by Illumina company, and then we accomplished the whole SNP assay, the molecular assay we have completed. Right now we are working on the linkage and the cutil analysis. That is the one which is going to identify the genes. So once we identify the gene, that can be used in our breeding program. Not only in breeding program, but also in a genetic engineering approach. So what we have accomplished so far by doing all the stuff is, in molecular genetics and genomic study, the most important starting point is the suitable genetic materials. And if we make a wrong choice in there, then we may not be able to achieve our goal. So we strongly believe that we identified the suitable genetic materials by capitalizing genetic diversity. So we are currently we are using these materials for for various approaches, what I explained to you earlier. And also, this is the first time we have mined the soybean genome for identifying the lipid genes, which we are successful on that. So currently we have 367 genes in our hand, so we are having a lot of genes to play with. And also we incorporated high throughput, single nucleotide polymorphism and other advanced molecular technology to expedite the gene discovery. And also we have reached a very, we got a very interesting result through genetic engineering approach as well. It's just a matter of time to make a, to see the result in soybean. So another challenge, as I mentioned earlier, is when we are increasing the oil content, there is always going to be a problem in the carbohydrate content and protein content, and also yield. So what, by incorporating system biology approach, that is integrating proteomics and metabolomics in addition to a genomic approach, we should be able to understand the biochemical and genetic networks, what's going on inside at the cellular level when we are increasing the oil content. This project, we got it recently funded, and Dr. Babu is working on that, and we are hoping that we would be able to make breakthrough research in this one also. So last slide, I would like to thank all the molecular biologists, plant breeders, and genomicists, the bioinformaticists, and also my lab members, and some of them are here already. And in our world, we all know that one universal truth is no money, no research. So we are thankful to MSMC and USB for their generous funding support to conduct the research. Thank you very much.